You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Brought to you by Premier Bet Namibia Toast. Create your account now at premierbet.com and use promo code Namibia264. Premier Bet, win big, win now.
Very good evening to all the Eagle FM listeners. You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone. Now brought to you by Premier Bet Namibia Toads. And as the promo said, use promo code Namibia264 to create your account now at premierbet.com. This is the Eagle Sports Zone, Eagle FM's in-house sporting program where we discuss all things sports. We like to dive deep into the sporting world, peel back the layers. We like to talk about the things that happen behind the scenes that make what we see and love on the field or on the court happen. And today on the Eagle Sports Zone, we're going to talk about the sports sponsorship economy of the 2026 World Cup host cities. 2026 World Cup, not too far away, happening in about, let's say, 8 months. Happening in North America, that's USA, Canada, and Mexico. And so today we're going to look at the host cities. We're going to look at those markets. We're going to look at how much money is being spent currently in those markets when it comes to sports sponsorship. We'll get into the details a bit later. But as usual, if you haven't already, follow us on all our social media pages. That's Eagle FM Namibia on Facebook, Eagle FM Namibia on X, Eagle FM Namibia on Instagram. Go onto one of those pages to get access to our WhatsApp channel as well, so you can be updated by the minute as soon as we have any exciting news for you, whether that's sports or non-sport related news. And of course, download the Eagle FM mobile application so that you can tune in to your favorite talk radio station wherever you are on the go. That's wherever you are in the world. So if you're in China, you can tune into Eagle FM. If you're in Morocco, you can tune into Eagle FM. If you're in Brazil, you can tune into Eagle FM. If you're in Australia, you can tune into Eagle FM. And it costs you a total of $0.00 to download the Eagle FM mobile application. That's on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. And if you happen to have missed an edition of the Eagle Sports Zone, we have taken care of you, because everything is available for you in the podcast section of the Eagle FM mobile application. So if you're looking for the Eagle Sports Zone of last week, if you're looking for Eagle Sports Zone of last month, last year even, it is all available for you in the podcast section of the Eagle FM mobile application. You can type in the name of any show that it is you're looking for from Eagle FM. So that's Unpacking the Day. That's the crossover that we just had now with Abigail. That's Mind the Gap. Any show that we have on Eagle FM will be available for you in the podcast section of the Eagle FM mobile application. And once you download the Eagle FM mobile application, you'll see a nice rotating digital billboard for you to interact with that will give you access to all kinds of information, all kinds of reports, all kinds of valuable information, you know, things like all the constitutions of African countries, things like the latest census report, labor statistics, all kinds of economic reports from various organizations, whether that's Bank of Namibia, whether that's the World Bank. So, download the Eagle FM mobile application. And if you want to call into the studio and you forget our number, which is 0832-888-401, you can simply press the little call button that's in the top right corner of the Eagle FM mobile application, and you will get an option to call in to the studio. As always, our line is always open. That's 0832-888-401. If you want to comment on anything, you want to ask any questions, or you'd like to answer our trivia question of the day, which today's trivia question is related to our topic. Like I said, we're kind of talking about the World Cup today. Today's trivia question, I'm asking you to name the first African nation to ever play at a World Cup. I just want the name of the country. The first African country to ever play at a World Cup. And bonus points if you can guess the year that this happened in. And once we get someone to answer that, we'll have some more interesting tidbits about that and why we made that the question for today. And on the other side of this, we will get into a new segment. Before we get into the Pan-African segment, there's another new segment that we created this week. So we'll get into that on the other side of this short commercial break. Now we'll be back right after this.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Brought to you by Premier Bet Namibia Totes. Create your account now at premierbet.com and use promo code Namibia264. Premier Bet, win big, win now.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. And as I promised, we're going to have a new dedicated segment here on the Eagle Sports Zone, and that is the Eagle Sports Zone.
Do you have kids preparing for the year-end exams? Spoil them with these treats at special prices from USAVE. 4 100-gram Kroger Family Snacks Strawberry Flavor, just $14.99 Namibian dollars. 1 liter Sensation Dairy Fruit Mix, just $18.99 Namibian dollars. 500 grams of Yummy Poloni, just $26.99 Namibian dollars. Nestle Kit Kat Chocolates, just $10.99 Namibian cents. And 1.8 liter farmhouse ice cream, only $46.99 Namibian dollars. You save your low budget grocery store where good food costs less.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Eagle FM otuna evi to da njuka okukwetera oipindi konu konda do inawa nune udo otukwetera o special angeta shake ngeje pa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nukumuna oijamo ili nawa ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onoreta tuimwe bali heavy nola natu heali bali no heali ile kongerewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu omafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Eagle FM. You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Brought to you by Premier Bet Namibia Totes. Create your account now at premierbet.com and use promo code Namibia264. Premier Bet, win big, win now.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. Coming back from that commercial break, and as I said, we are now going to do the score roundup.
Who won? Who scored? What was the final score? The Eagle Sports Zone score roundup is brought to you by Premier Bet Namibia Totes. Visit premierbet.com and use promo code Namibia264 to sign up and win big now.
So let's get into the scores over the weekend. Not much happened in terms of, at least in the footballing world, besides some international friendlies and some FIFA World Cup qualifiers. Let's start with the European qualifiers, some of which took place yesterday. We had Spain playing against Georgia, beating them 4-0. We have Belgium drawing 1-1 with Kazakhstan. And then today, quite a surprising score. And we had Portugal beating Armenia 9-1. Then in other scores, when it comes to World Cup qualification in the UEFA side of things. With Germany beating Luxembourg 2-0. Netherlands drawing 1-1 with Poland. Portugal surprisingly losing 2-0 to Ireland. Then England beating Serbia 2-0. France played against Ukraine, beating them at 4-0. And Norway led by none other than Erling Haaland. And on the verge of qualifying for the World Cup. Creating history there, beating Estonia 4-1. And then tonight, on the African side of things, tonight you'll have Nigeria playing against Congo in a playoff. So the winner of that fixture will then go on to the intercontinental playoff against teams from the other continental federations, where only two of the, I believe it's six teams, will advance. So either Nigeria or Congo will have the opportunity to go there. Even if they win, this doesn't mean that they will go to the World Cup. As I said, they will go to another playoff. They're taking the long way around to get to the FIFA World Cup, the expanded FIFA World Cup now, with a lot more teams than the usual 32. Now up to 48 teams. And if you've been following any of the World Cup qualifiers, you would have seen the Italian head coach. That is Mr. Gattuso, former player. Former great player, actually. I used to like him a lot. I like him less now after what he's been saying recently. But basically he said that Africa now has too many African teams are going to the World Cup. I don't know if he's saying that because of how slim the chances are of Italy qualifying. Because they need to beat Norway by more than 8 goals to qualify directly. And if they don't do so, which more than likely they won't, they will need to go through a playoff as well. But UEFA gets their own playoff. They don't compete in the one that Nigeria and Congo will be in. But nonetheless, that's all we have for now when it comes to the score roundup. As I said, a quiet sporting weekend. And so with that said, we will go straight into our Pan-African segment where we will discuss some African-specific sporting news.
Across Africa, sports unite us. From Lagos to Lusaka, from Cairo to Cape Town, we are one. This is the Pan-African Sports segment live on Eagle FM.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back to Lagos Sports Zone. Starting off this segment, we're going to start with our neighbors. This segment is going to be pretty local. We're not going to go too far from Namibia. So we're going to start with the Springboks, who beat Italy 32-14 over in Turin, Italy. Was a fairly tightly contested match, despite what the scoreline says, because the Springboks played more than 60 minutes with 14 players. As a second rower, Franco Mostert was shown a red card for a dangerous high tackle on Italian fly half Paolo Garbisi. And so the Springboks continue their dominance over world rugby. Seems that they can't lose at the moment. I think it's been, I don't know exactly how long it's been that they haven't lost a match, but it's been a while. And so they continue their dominance of being the number one rugby team in the world. And staying with rugby, our very own Velvichas, that's the Namibia national rugby team, officially failed to qualify for the 2027 Rugby World Cup after a 26-8 loss to Samoa. This will be our very first time since we played in our first World Cup in 1999 that we won't be participating in the Rugby World Cup. So unfortunate times for our national rugby team. Like I said, we've never played at the World Cup since our very first one in 1999. But then again, we've also never won a match at the World Cup. So if you've been following rugby, it's not, this was something that's kind of been on the horizon. You know, we've been struggling, and other countries in the continent have been catching up, as we saw that we didn't win the Rugby Africa Cup, which is how we normally qualify for the World Cup. So we've been on a decline, and perhaps this is what the union needed, the rugby union needed. You know, sometimes you have to be knocked down and start over. Give you a moment to reflect, take stock. And I'm sure Jacques Berg and the rest of the team have a plan to bring us back to the level we were at before, right? And so now we move on to the FIFA Under 17 World Cup, which is currently happening, where we had Burkina Faso beating Germany, who are the defending champions of the Under 17 World Cup. They beat them 1-0 in the round of 32. Amajita, which is South Africa's Under 17 team, who, you know, have been performing really well in this tournament. Lots of players were in the limelight for their performances, but fell 3-0 to Japan, who, I don't know what's going on in Japan, but they, if you've seen any highlights of this Under 17 team, have been playing phenomenal football. So it seems that Japan has found the winning formula in terms of youth football development. We'll see if that translates to their national team. And to be fair, their national team has been doing well. Their senior national team has been doing well as well at the World Cup. Always a tough team to play against. Then we had Mali beating Zambia 3-0. Uganda beat Senegal 1-0. And Morocco beat the USA 4-3. That was on penalties after the match ended 1-1 in full time. Then we had Tunisia and Egypt bowed out of the tournament, unfortunately, after losing 2-0 and 3-1 respectively. That was to Austria and Switzerland. So with that said, Africa will have a guaranteed place in the quarterfinals, because in the round of 16, we will now have Morocco playing against Mali. Morocco will be playing against Mali, and Uganda will be playing against Burkina Faso in the round of 16. So our young African football players doing well in the FIFA Under 17 World Cup. And then staying with our southern neighbor, South Africa. This was quite surprising for me to see, being honest. They launched a bid to host either the 2036 or 2040 Olympic Games. And of course, this is huge news, because the Olympics have never been on African soil. Olympics being unequivocally the biggest sporting event in the history of the world, in the history of sports. So that would be great if that could come to the African continent. And it's not the first time that South Africa is actually trying to host the Olympic Games, because Cape Town put in a bid for the 2004 Games, which ended up going to Athens. But their bid finished in third, behind Rome and obviously Athens. And a fun fact, this could have been the trivia question of the day, but a fun fact about South Africa is that them and England are the only countries to have hosted the Rugby World Cup, which South Africa did in 1995. We all know that famous World Cup with Nelson Mandela. They hosted the Cricket World Cup. That was in 2003. And then, of course, the FIFA World Cup in 2010, which was the first and so far only World Cup to be hosted on African soil. Then they had the minister in the presidency over in South Africa, Ms. Kumbodzo Nashaveni, said that basically officially announced that they have plans to do this. And she said that even if we were offered the games tomorrow, our cabinet is confident that we will be able to host them with our current facilities. So South Africa showing great confidence in being able to host the games. And as I just outlined, they do have a track record of hosting events of such magnitude. And also, you know, like I said, the IOC, that's the International Olympic Committee, the president, if you guys remember, newly elected president, is a Zimbabwean woman. And that's Kirsty Coventry. So, you know, I think South Africa has a good chance of winning this bid, being able to convince a fellow African that it is the right place to host an Olympic Games. And if you want to hear our short interview that we had with Kirsty Coventry, go on to the Eagle FM. Actually, you can just Google Eagle FM Namibia, Kirsty Coventry. You see the interview we had with her when she was in Namibia some months ago. And speaking of Namibia, the Namibian Football Association hosted the 34th Ordinary Congress, where they made some interesting announcements, some announcements that some people have been very excited for, very, very eager to hear, which is that starting with the 2026-2027 season, the Namibian Premier Football League will operate independently, meaning that the NFA will no longer be the one managing the top flight league in Namibia, which is something that has caused great division in the Namibian football community. If you remember when we had the CEO of Desmarine Namibia on here, again, if you want to listen to that interview, go to the podcast section of the website or the Eagle FM mobile application. When he was here, you know, we've heard many other people, many clubs have come out and said that that league needs to be independently run as leagues are run, pretty much all over the world. The football associations aren't the ones who normally handle with the day to day, the commercial side of football leagues. So the NFA has finally, I can say, conceded that notion, and let's see how it goes. Other announcements that were made during this ordinary Congress were that the Women's Super League will still be under the NFA's administration, and they also said that all football clubs in Namibia are now required to establish youth structures, which I'm surprised wasn't mandated already. One would think that that would be a key pillar in developing youth football, but they've now said that all the clubs are now required to do so, and that there's actually incentives from FIFA for these clubs to do so. They also announced that the NFA received 3,800 soccer balls, that is both from CAF and FIFA, which the NFA will distribute to schools and youth programs all around the country. Moving on to, we had some gymnastic news that we can report on. The Namibian Rhythmic Gymnastics team recently competed at the 27th Happy Cup in Drongen, Belgium. And our ladies actually won gold there. I feel like every time I speak about gymnastics, I'm speaking about them winning gold. So they always represent us well. We had Zara Duchesne, who competed in the under 9 category, won gold for her ball routine, and she finished 7th overall. Kenandra Mupia earned a bronze medal for her ribbon sequence. And then we had Jade Pretorius in the under 12, finished 21st overall. Going back to football, the Brave Warriors played an international friendly against Comoros in Comoros. This fixture was for locally based players, specifically locally based players. And we lost that one 1-0 over in the island of Comoros. And then staying with football, the city of Windhoek approved the sale of 340 to the NFA for a tune of 2.96 million. Remember when we had the spokesperson of the NFA, Issa Kamata, on here, talked about why the NFA was looking for the city of Windhoek to either sell them or extend the lease. This is an area around the technical center, soccer house over in Kausitura. And what they want to do is they want to renovate the area, essentially. Renovate soccer house itself, but also its surrounding areas. They want to build a hotel. They want to build a gym, a restaurant, things like that. So they want to turn it into a quote-unquote sports village with assistance from FIFA. But to get assistance from FIFA, they needed the city of Windhoek to hand over this land, or sell them this land, rather, which they were able to do. So let's see how that will progress over the coming years. Then the city of Windhoek also approved a proposal by the Namibian Football Association to upgrade the Sam Nujoma Stadium to meet international standards set by CAF and FIFA. So the NFA had actually initially requested that the stadium be donated or leased to them, but the council, the city of Windhoek, denied, emphasizing that the facility remains a key municipal asset. And so instead, what they did is they approved a 50-50 cost-sharing agreement for the structural upgrades, which are estimated at around 19.9 million Namibian dollars. The city has already allocated its portion of the funds. They have appointed a contractor and officially handed over the site on the 2nd of October, 2025. Some of you might have remembered us reporting on that. And then, let's see. I won't be too excited. Well, let me say it like this. I'm excited that things are official now, but in the last, let's call it 18 months or so, we've heard many, many similar such announcements. And as we sit here today on the 16th of November, 2025, you know, not much has materialized. So I'm reserving my excitement, but you have to start somewhere. Now, cycling news, the last piece of Eagle FM, good evening.
Yes, good evening, Yang.
How are you this evening?
When I don't know how to pronounce your name well, that's why I always do.
It's Hende.
Hende.
Yes.
Oh, good evening, Hende.
Good evening.
Now I think I got it now.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you very much for the opportunity given to me. Yes, I think it's important that those assets also need to be managed.
Yeah.
Properly. If they can have they share the cost in terms of money and also the technical aspects of just to make sure that these things are really taken care of.
Yeah,
they are serving the purpose that they were created for. I think it's just good because what we see is about the management side.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe who comes in there, I don't know how they do it, because, and I've listened to NFA,
yeah,
when they were now taking care of that, the one, the Yakatutura house or whatever you call it. If the same Nujoma Stadium is going the same way, I think it's just good enough.
Mm-hmm.
So if there are requirements that are laid down as this cafe or whatever that you are calling, that body.
Yeah.
If those requirements can be made through what they are doing now, or whether it's a partnership or whatever, I think it's just good enough. But what I know, and I'm observing, I'm speaking under correction, is the how to manage those infrastructure.
Yeah.
And that's where the problem is.
Yeah, that would be
the
a problem.
Ones, the Independence Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
We have always heard when this contractor comes, this other one comes, this one is going to challenge this. No, I am left out. And all this kind of thing, the delay of bureaucratic issues.
Yeah.
And the court challenges and things like that. But because if somebody brings a case, a complaint before the court, what do? You just have to wait.
Mm-hmm.
It's another delay. But if they can seriously mobilize, even the NFA, this Namibia, what football association is?
Yeah.
So if they can seriously put their hand together and mobilize for resources, those sport fields, they will be really at the home in the national talent. And they must also not remember, we must also look at our villages. I think we have spoken about this community development initiative when it comes to sports.
Yeah.
They should also make sure that they decentralize their efforts and their money So they shouldn't just be looking at it in Windhoek and all these other things.
Mm-hmm.
But we have got people who are in the rural, in the periphery, and then they want to get into sports to make money. So it is up to them now to decentralize their energy and their resources or whatever they have to ensure that those local field, those, you know, sometimes in the village, you don't normally have the, you just have a space. And those space can be really developed to meet, even not maybe CAF standard, but our own local standard.
Yeah.
So please, please let them also move to the villages.
Mm-hmm.
Go and mobilize there. If you go to Sarati's Independent Stadium or any other way, you have a lot of balls running around, kicked, kicked, a lot of them. Do they go into the villages there and say, okay, here we have got this team here, and those teams can be crafted together and make sure that you give them some balls. Some ball. And we are now saying that each and every club must also have all the, this is
just a youth team.
Youth team. Mm-hmm. And the girls are there.
Mm-hmm.
So let them go and distribute balls and the whistle, you know, Ushiva.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know which one, but Ushiva is a Mexican. Whistle.
Whistle,
yes.
Mm-hmm.
Let them go and distribute those things in the net and all these things. What are they doing? Are they doing that? I'm always in the village most of the time during this time around. And they are playing this kind of competition and things like that. They don't even come and say, yes, here there's a tournament. Let's go and identify some talent and see how we can develop them and help those are the people who are now administering those affairs there and incapacitate them.
Yeah.
So that they can have some knowledge and all these things. And also start mobilizing for resources. So, my brother, Hende.
Yes.
Let me end up here. Thank you very much. What is happening in South Africa? We are also taking note on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
But let's make progress. We crashed. You know, last time we crashed in Liverpool, eh? I don't know, it was not in Sunday, was it? So please pass my regards and congratulations enough to that General Alenga.
Yeah, I see you guys are happy again. After a long, you guys were quiet for a long time.
Yeah, we were quiet because there was some kind of issue we were trying to put things in order. Now things are now moving well.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, man.
Thank you for calling.
God bless.
Yes. That was a caller contribution there. If you'd like to chime in as well, the number in the studio is 0832-888-401. If you'd like to chime in, questions, comments, about anything, don't forget the trivia question, which is name the first African nation to ever play at a FIFA World Cup. Bonus points if you can guess the answer. First name, I think this is, yeah, just call in and tell me what is the name of this country? Anyways, our last tidbit for the Pan-African segment. We have some history happening in the cycling world where we had the first ever continental cycling women's team that will be based in Africa was officially announced during the week. And that is Team Amani. Team Amani, who is based in Kenya. Yes, based in Kenya. And the team has been running since 2020. And if you guys are following, remember they were here for the Tour de Ventura as well. But now they're making the step up to the UCI continental level. UCI being the international cycling body. So the FIFA of cycling. They're making the step up to the UCI continental level for 2026. And they have ambitions of competing at the Tour de France Femme, that's the Women's Tour de France, the Giro d'Italia Women, and the La Vuelta Femenina. So, basically all the big female cycling competitions, they want to compete as the first women's the first women's cycling team that is based in Africa, and that was formed during the week. And they want to do all this, compete at these tournaments by the 2028 season. So the team will be registered in Ethiopia and will feature riders mainly from East Africa. That includes Ethiopia and Rwanda. And the team features a young lady who we interviewed here on Eagle FM as well. Her name is, I know her as Javert, but her full name is Javerine Nirere. She's a Rwandan rider who won the Tour de Ventoux a few months ago. Earlier in the year, she won the Tour de Ventoux and was one of the few African riders to finish at the UCI Road World Championships that were hosted in Kigali about maybe 2 months ago now. And yeah, so if you'd like to see our interview with her, again, just type in Eagle FM Namibia, Javerine Nirere, and you will get access to that interview. So that has been today's edition of the Pan-African segment.
Across Africa, sports unites us. From Lagos to Lusaka, from Cairo to Cape Town, we are one. This has been the Pan-African sports segment live on Eagle FM.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, that has been the Pan-African segment. And on the other side of this musical break, we will get into our topic of the day, which is we're going to be discussing the sports sponsorship economy of the 2026 FIFA World Cup. Now, I'm sure some of you are listening will be asking yourselves, what am I talking about? What do I even mean when I say this? But on the other side of these great melodies from our favorite uncle, Mr. Jimmy Cliff, we will get into our topic. We'll be right back after this.
are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Brought to you by Premier Bet Namibia Totes. Create your account now at premierbet.com and use promo code Namibia264. Premier Bet, win big, win now.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone, brought to you by Premier Bet Namibia. Visit premierbet.com and use promo code Namibia264 to create your account now for free. So, let's get into our topic of the day. Like I promised before the musical break, from our good uncle, Mr. Jimmy Cliff. And like I said, today we're going to be talking about the sports sponsorship economy of the FIFA 2026 World Cup. Of the sports economy of the host cities, rather. Right? And so, where we're getting this information from is from a company called Sponsor United. They released an 80-page report on the sports sponsorship landscape in the host city. So all the data that I'm going to be talking about for the next hour or so is coming from this report released by Sponsor United. And actually, I used to work for this company for about 2.5 years. I used to work for this company. And, yeah, they do some good stuff, and they released this report. And the reason I want to discuss this is to give an insight into what the business of sports looks like at the highest level. You know, there's no country that does sports business like the USA. So I'd like to give us some insight. Some information you ordinarily wouldn't encounter of what the business, keyword business of sport looks like at the highest level. So obviously a lot of what I'm about to discuss is something that we here in Namibia, if we compare it to our sporting landscape, it won't be comparable. But at the same time, you know, the phrase sport as a business or sport as an economic driver and so on and so on, something that we've been using a lot in Namibia over the past, let's say, 18 months or so. Almost like a catchphrase it's become, right? So I want to help us understand what sports as a business really looks like. You know, it's not often, or at least from what I hear, when we discuss sports as a business, we're talking about, oh, people selling hot dogs outside the stadiums and things like that, which of course has their place, but that's not the end goal. You know, like I said earlier, the city of Windhoek didn't agree to a 50-50 cost sharing agreement on a $20 million project so that people can sell hot dogs outside. You know, the however many billions that the Independent Stadium project was estimated at. They're not paying these billions so that people can sell food outside the stadiums or the Ongo Stadium, which they said was also multiple billions. You know, this money isn't being spent so that people can sell hot dogs outside. So we're going to look at why countries, why taxpayers, why governments spend so much on sports is so that they can create a landscape like the one I'm about to break down now. Don't forget our trivia question of the day. Give me the first African country to ever compete at a FIFA World Cup. Call in and tell me the answer, and you get bonus points if you can name the year in which this occurred. The hint is that I'm willing to bet anyone that's listening wasn't alive when this happened, but that's the only hint I'll give. So before we get into the detail, another fun fact, or some fun facts rather, before we get into this report is, so this report is going to look at 13 host cities, 13 of the 16 total, I believe it is. It's only going to be the host cities in the USA and Canada. They weren't able to collect enough data on the Mexican host cities to include them in the report. So that's why we're only going to speak about USA and Canada on this topic. So to give you an idea of what the sports landscapes looks like over there, There's four what they call major leagues over there. That's the NFL, that's your National Football League, that's American football. Then you have your MLB, that's Major League Baseball. That's the top flight baseball league. You have NHL, that's the National Hockey League, that's ice hockey. Then the top ice hockey league. And then you have the NBA, National Basketball Association. Which of these three is the only one with a with an African arm? NBA Africa, which we've spoken about on here before. Then you have sort of in the classes below that. So think of it as a pyramid. Those four leagues are at the top of the pyramid. Then at your next level, you have MLS, which is your Major League Soccer. That's the league that Messi plays in. That's the league that David Beckham played in famously. Who else played there? Thierry Henry played in that league. Wayne Rooney played in there for a while. Not a while, a brief stint. Frank Lampard played there. Kaká played there. You know, it was for a while known as a retirement league for old European players. That's the MLS. Then you have NWSL, which is the women's version of the MLS. You have the WNBA, which is the women's version of the National Basketball Association. And then you have all the college sports, university sports rather. Let me use the word university. University sports. And so over there, university sports are pretty much professional sports as well. Oh, and then again, if you want some more insight into the business of university sports, go to the Eagle FM website, go to the podcast section, type in Eagle Sports Zone Hunter Lundy. That's an episode we did with someone that works over in the USA that worked in the basically ticket sales area of college sports and university sports. And they gave us some great insight into what that world is like, how it affects the communities and so on. So check that out on the Eagle FM website. Anyways. So in terms of sponsorship revenue, right? Football is the smallest sport. That's why it's not in that top bracket that I mentioned earlier. It's even below the university sports, really. But football is the smallest, but which also means now coming up with the World Cup, there's a lot of room for growth, which we'll get into a bit later. So the 13 host cities, which are Atlanta, Boston, Dallas, Houston, Kansas City, Los Angeles, Miami, New York/New Jersey, they group that as one, Philadelphia, San Francisco, Seattle, Toronto, Vancouver. Those are the 13 host cities, right? So those 13 host cities in the past, let's call it the 2024-2025 season, they have generated over $4.5 billion in sponsorship spend or sponsorship revenue, which represents nearly half of the North American sports economy. $4.5 billion. That's around, if we're saying our GDP is $12 billion, that's around a little over a third of Namibia's GDP spent on sponsorships in sports in 13 cities only. Right. And so as I read the list off earlier, it's 11 American cities and 2 Canadian. So now we look at where does football currently lie in that 4.5 billion? Where does it stack up in that 4.5 billion? The football teams currently make up only around 9% of the sponsorship spend in those 13 host cities. The biggest market would be is New York, New Jersey, you know, the media capital of the world, with around $758 million spent on football. But that only makes up around 7% of spend in that market as a whole. So of all the money that's spent on sports in the New York market, that 758 only represents 7% of the total that's spent on all the other sports. And percentage-wise, the market with the biggest spend on football is Miami with 22% or $259 million. And that is attributed primarily to the arrival of the one and only Lionel Messi to Inter Miami. And so one man, just because of the arrival of one man, he doubled the club's revenue and...
Care that helps you care for others. That's the basic mental health first aid course, free for NHP members. You'll learn how to spot early signs of mental or emotional distress in friends, family, or colleagues, and how to guide them to the right support before small struggles become bigger problems. Learn more and register for free at nhp.com.na. T's and C's apply. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Brought to you by Premier Bet Namibia Totes. Create your account now at premierbet.com and use promo code Namibia264. Premier Bet, win big, win now.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. As I was saying, the Messi's arrival to Inter Miami has... The economic effect has been quite astonishing, really. As I said, it doubled the club's revenue and has allowed them to broker record-breaking sponsorship deals, and they are now the highest earning, the team Inter Miami now has the highest earning in sponsorship revenue in the whole league, that is the MLS, Major League Soccer. And the company Royal Caribbean Cruise, which is on the front of Inter Miami's shirts, their shirt sponsor. Just as an example, they spend basically all their sponsorship revenue, or sponsorship spend rather, they have it at 99% on football. They only spend on Inter Miami. So there you have one company that decided, oh, we're only going to sponsor the sport of football and we're only going to put it in one team. Basically all because of one person, and that's Messi. But then you also have a situation where you have many companies that spend huge in American sports, but they don't spend much on football yet. And that's what the World Cup will change. Many companies that previously didn't see the value in football, especially in America, like I said, it's not a major premier sport in that country. So again, it's understandable why, you know, they decided to spend on other sports. But with the World Cup, that will most certainly change. For example, with Toyota. For example, they only spent 5% of their sponsorship spend goes towards football in North America. And I'm sure with the World Cup, that number is gonna, at the very least, double. And so, speaking of the rise in football popularity in the United States, and this is why the brands will now flock to this part of the world, which we'll have to wait until it's done, but I'm willing to bet that it will be the biggest World Cup from a commercial point of view that FIFA has seen. And that's also part of the reason I say this is also FIFA has recognized this definitely as well, as we've seen with the Club World Cup. There's a reason that happened in the USA also. There's a reason that happened the way it did. The whole spectacle that was made around that is because they know that in that country, when it comes to spending on sports, it's like no other place in the world. And so when the World Cup ends, I'm sure we're going to see another report like this about exactly how much money was spent and made during the FIFA World Cup, which I think will also be the most expensive from a fan perspective. I mean, seeing some of the ticket prices now already, it's not an affordable World Cup for the average person, let me say like that. Then another indicator, this was now in the report, they said that the social media accounts that were created they created social media accounts. FIFA did created social media accounts for each host city. And these social media accounts are growing at a rate way faster than the money being spent on sponsorship. So I say that to say that there's definitely fanfare around this World Cup, growing fanfare around this World Cup in the traditional sense and digitally, which is a, as we know, is a key part of society today, especially in first world countries such as the USA. So now, let's take a detailed look at some of these cities. I don't think we'll go through all 13. We'll see if time allows us to do that, but we'll look at some of the bigger ones first. And then if we have enough time, we will go through some of the others. We're going to start with the city of Atlanta, Georgia. Right. The city of Atlanta, their total team sponsorship revenue, according to the report, stands at $340 million. The average deal size is between $600,000 and $1 million. And you have companies such as Mercedes, who spend over 80% of their sports sponsorship spend in North America is centralized to the area of Atlanta. And so this, that $340 million I mentioned ranks as seventh in terms of total spend in North America. Average deal size is at $576,000. And the number of deals that are worth more than $1 million in this market stand at 76. Total sponsorship deals, 591. And there's a total of 419 brands that spend on sports just in the city of Atlanta. And the average revenue per team for the teams that are in the Atlanta area, the average revenue that they generate from sponsorships, just sponsorships, stands at $49 million. And you have... at the top of that list, you have the Atlanta Braves, who make over $120 million, or let's say around $120 million, from sponsorship revenue. The top five brands ranked by spend in the area, as I said, Mercedes, they spend over 80%. Ticketmaster, Delta Airlines, Truist, and then you have State Farm. That's an insurance company over there. Then the amount of categories. So the 419 brands consist of 31 different categories. And the category that spends the most from the companies in the market of Atlanta is the telecommunications company. Category, excuse me. And their average deal size is at around $1.5 million. Second in the category is retail companies. And third is insurance. Like I said, State Farm. And in terms of total spend on sports per category now, you have the auto industry, like I said, Mercedes makes up a bulk of that. $42 million. The alcoholic beverage category spends $31 million, and the financial category spends $36 million on sports in the market of Atlanta. Then I want to look at, give you some insight on the teams that are there. So your main teams there, probably the biggest one, is the American football team. That's the Atlanta Falcons. They are the ones, some of you might have seen that Mercedes-Benz Stadium during the Club World Cup. That is their home. Their average deal size is between 870,000 and $1 million. They have 98 brand partners, which might sound like a lot, but that only ranks 18th in their league. And they are top 5 in the average deal size among teams in their league. Then there's other teams in this one, but I wanna focus on the University of Georgia. Like I said, University Sports over there are a business as well, and they actually have more brand partners than not all. They have the second most brand partners in the market compared to the other professional teams. They have 102 brand partners. And their average deal size is between 250 and 330,000 US dollars. And you also have Georgia Tech University, which if I remember correctly, I remember seeing they had a cohort that was here in Namibia for some kind of political exchange program. But Georgia Tech, they have 57 brand partners, which of that, their average deal size is between 110 and 150,000 US dollars. So next, that was the market of Atlanta. So next we're going to look at the city of Boston, Massachusetts. Boston, their total spend is at $360 million. So $360 million were spent in the area of Boston alone in the 2024 to 2025, let's call it, sporting season. And that ranks 5th in the North American market, excuse me. And the average deal size, 630,000 US dollars. And the deals worth over $1 million in this market, it's listed at 77. Total sponsorship deals, 571. And 403 total brands have spent money in the market of Boston. Average revenue per team. Again, this is not their total revenue. This is just the revenue they earn from sponsorships. Average revenue in this market, 60 million US dollars, with the Boston Red Sox leading the way, also close to 120,000. They have, remember the 403 brands, they come from 30 categories, with the media category being the highest spender. In terms of average deal size. In terms of total spend, the category that spends the most is the financial category, which ranked 2nd in Atlanta, but 1st in Boston now. And what you'll see now in this report is that the top spending categories is usually similar. Similar names are there. It's usually finance, beverage / alcohol companies, tech companies, retail companies, insurance companies. And when you think of, if you come back now to Namibia, that also kind of mirrors, obviously they don't spend to the scale, but the companies or the categories that support Namibian sports, obviously financial, the banks, insurance here and there, retail in Namibia really does. Trying to think, little to nothing in terms of sports spending in Namibia. You know, we've had people call in a few times saying, you know, where's the pick and pay cup? Where are these companies when it comes to spending in Namibian sports? Technology, Not so much in Namibia either. And then beverage, obviously you have your various drink companies that do sponsor here and there in Namibian sports. Now let's go on now to the teams. In this market, the team with the most brand partners is the Boston Red Sox. They have an average deal size between $700,000 and $830,000 from 145 brand partners. They have the largest percentage increase in sponsorship spend among teams in Boston. Eagle FM, good evening. Yes, what would you like to contribute on the Eagle Sports Zone this evening?
I know, I just want to say our radio is off here, no fear, Scott Origin, please.
Tia?
Yeah, Scott Origin.
Okay, we'll get that one sorted.
Almost a week now, I'm always listening to Eagle FM.
Okay.
Thank you.
We'll get it sorted. Thank you.
All right.
As always, if for whatever reason we're down in your area, you can tune in via the Eagle FM mobile application and the Eagle FM website. That's www.eaglefm.com.na. If you'd like to call into the studio, the number is 083-288-401. That's 083-288-401. Where was I? The Boston Red Sox, 145 brand partners. The team with the biggest average size deals is a American football team. That's the New England Patriots. Average deal size at around $1 million. US dollars. And then just to give a perspective in terms of how football at the current state compares to the other sports over there, is you have the New England Revolution, who are a major league soccer team. Their average deal size is at $165,000, and they have 54 brand partners. So you have one team that almost has three times the amount of brand partners in the same market than one of the football teams. For example, here again, a university, Boston College, has 99 brand partners with an average deal size of $130,000. And they have the most sponsorship deals added year over year among teams in the Boston area. So after that, we move on to, we're going to go now across the country. We're going to go to Los Angeles. Los Angeles has over 750 million US dollars in sports sponsorship spend, which ranks second in North America. 754 million to be exact. Average deal size, 790,000 US dollars, and deals over a million. 154 deals that are worth over a million US dollars, and they have almost 955 total sponsorship deals between 657 brands. And the teams with the highest sponsorship revenue is the Los Angeles Dodgers, close to $200 million, and the average revenue per team is at $54 million. Average sponsorship revenue, excuse me, at $54 million. And in that market, by far, The category that spends the most is the financial sector. They spend $166 million, followed by the auto industry, $72 million. Auto also another one that spends in Namibia. The one that I forgot earlier is the auto industry. So yeah, finance and auto make up the bulk of spend in that market. And now the teams. The lowest average deal size in this market is the Los Angeles Angels. That's a baseball team at 400,000. And with the highest average deal size, we have the Los Angeles Lakers. That's at 2.25 million in terms of average deal size. And then the team with the most brand deals is the Los Angeles Rams at 106. And the one with the least, surprisingly, is actually the Los Angeles Lakers with only 34 brand deals, which ranks second last in their league. Eagle FM, good evening.
I just came quickly for something.
Okay.
So now, this, because I know that sometimes there is the environment is created to be more conducive for us to really tap in terms of sport development. But I have really learned that only some companies, well-established companies, and they are also getting a share from the government.
Mm-hmm.
But for some of those people, they don't really come in. They come in at a certain interval when they say fund, corporate social responsibility, or they have had something, maybe an event is taking place. But as a continuous process, continuous development kind of, that strategy, that spirit. Why is it that things are not coming? No wonder why at one point the now current Minister of Sports, Steenkamp.
Yes.
During that conference of education conference that took place, I think 2 years or 3 years ago,
mm-hmm.
they actually proposed that there should be an act, a law, that it leads to combining those people to at least put in more of their money, mobilize for the resources, and then start developing. Because many a times they are just poaching all those people that they are working within those their institutions, those structures. They were at one point employed or assisted by the government.
Are you talking about the sports levy?
Not only sports levy. So there must be really sports levy. I think is it too much? Is it really sufficient?
No,
maybe.
It's not in place yet, the sports levy.
Imagine it's not in sports yet. It's not in place yet.
Yeah.
There was even a proposal that was made some time ago by the former Minister of Education, Miles Angula. That was interesting, but he was now focusing on the VTC, that kind of a levy.
Mm-hmm.
But I hear we just need to have a law that can clearly compelling those people to really put money out there and dish out money. Because recently, so they were mobilized, I think, by Tafuda with finance. And they brought a lot of money. So why can't they do the same thing to bring a lot of money for the rural sport development?
Mm-hmm.
So because I know they are getting more from the government in terms of human capital, in terms of environment being conducive for them to flourish in their business.
Mm-hmm.
That are they really bringing enough sufficient for this sport development, especially in the rural area? They can combine themselves. I always see this best. What is it? The one that is sponsoring this Premier League and all these things.
Mm-hmm.
How many companies are there? Corporations that are there that really putting money there.
Yeah.
And also help to facilitate in terms of training. I'm not so sure, I'm speaking under correction, but I just think that there's some of these legal instruments need to be in place so that people can start putting more money and start,
So thank you very much, man.
Thank you for calling.
Good.
Yeah, I think what the caller was referencing is a sports levy, which we've discussed at length here on the Eagle Sports Zone. Like I said to the caller, it hasn't been implemented yet, but it's something that was proposed in the Sopo Party Manifesto Implementation Plan, which if you'd like to get access to is available on the Eagle FM mobile application. But that is yet to be enforced, yet to be put in place. Really, we don't know anything about that levy as per se. But like the caller is alluding to, you know, something like the sports levy, that money would primarily go towards development, which 100% is where it should go, because that's where our needs lie, is in development. But what we're talking about today is the next stage. You know, what happens when you've taken care of development, you know, the various use structures are in place, various pipelines are created. What does the sports economy look like when that happens? And that is the various numbers that I've been reading for the past 20 or so minutes. That's what happens when that side of things are taken care of. Obviously, there's other factors at play as well, but that's what the situation looks like. And actually, when I said the lowest average deal size in the LA market, I was incorrect. The lowest average deal size is, again, a sign of what they think about football, is the Los Angeles Galaxy. 200,000 average deal size. They have 62 brand partners. So in this market, you have two major universities. That's USC and that's UCLA. Both of them, in terms of average deal size, do better than the football team. USC average deal size 280,000. UCLA average deal size 310,000. USC 96 brand partners. UCLA 57 brand partners. Quite impressive. And then the Los Angeles Football Club has the most brand partners at 93. And their average deal size is between $400,000 and $500,000. So the second last market I want to look at is one, the Canadian ones, just to give a comparison. Just to give a comparison into how different the markets are just between two neighboring countries. So Vancouver is in Canada, and Vancouver, total spend in Vancouver is at, total spend in Vancouver is at 56 million, right? That's pretty low compared to the others that I've been reading out. You know, almost like five times less than some of the other markets that I was talking about. That ranks 43rd in North America. Average deal size 487,000. Only 7 deals worth over 1 million. Total sponsorship deals 115. I mean, I read about some teams that have more than 115 deals in this. The whole market, they have 115. And the total brands, 108. Average revenue generated by Vancouver sporting teams in terms of sports sponsorship is at 28 million. And, the category that spends the most is, the telecommunications. Spends the most, but is at 15 million. You know, that would rank at the bottom of some of the other markets that we were talking about. And the reason for these low numbers in comparison is because there's really only two organizations for brands to choose from, and that is the Vancouver Canucks. That's a hockey team.
Get ready to embrace a world of possibilities at the University of Namibia with a community of ambitious students, researchers, and innovators. Shape your future with a wide range of programs in agriculture, engineering, natural sciences, commerce and management, law, education, human sciences, health sciences, or veterinary medicine. Apply online at unam.edu.na. UNAM, open your mind.
If you've reached that stage in life where you are tired of everything, where each day is just routine, dah, yammer me oh. No, seriously, I am genuinely sorry for you, cause you clearly haven't been polanified. Like, boring day at the spani. Polanify your lunch hour with a delicious Polana curry. Chewing through yet another stale sandwich. Polanify your burger with a little mac and cheese. Tired of chewing the same shandy? Polanify your munchies with air-fried Polana pasta chips. Come on, life's too short for boring. Polanify every moment with Pasta Polana, a proud product of Namib Mills.
Win big, win now with Premier Bet Namibia Totes. Get a 200% sports bonus of up to 2,000 Namibian dollars. Sign up now at premierbet.com and use promo code Namibia264. Premier Bet, win big, win now.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Brought to you by Premier Bet Namibia Totes. Create your account now at premierbet.com and use promo code Namibia264. Premier Bet, win big, win now.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. As I was saying before the commercial break, the reason for the low spend in Vancouver is because there's only two teams for the brands to choose from, and that is a hockey team and a soccer team. Both smaller sports compared to, you know, your American football, your baseball, your basketball. So now we move on to the final market that I want to look at, and that is the number one market, of course, that is none other than the media capital of the world, that is New York City / New Jersey as well. They put them together. And the number one market, their total spend is at $758 million. Is spent on sponsorship deals in the New York market. And before we continue, yes. Eagle FM, good evening.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm
here to answer the question.
Yes, go on.
Was it Kenya who participated?
No, Kenya has never even been to a World Cup. Ever in life. Kenya has never been to a FIFA World Cup.
Oh, okay.
Try again. Try again. No. Try again.
Oh.
You get, when you get the answer, you can call back.
Is it South Africa?
No.
Namibia?
Stop. You can call back when you get the right answer.
Aye.
Trivia question of the day. Name the African nation, the first African nation to compete at a FIFA World Cup. It is not any of the answers that the caller gave there. It's not Kenya. I don't know why you would say Kenya. It's not South Africa. It's not Uganda Yeah. 0832888401. Give me the first African nation to play at a FIFA World Cup. And bonus points if you can guess the year that this feat happened in. Anyways, as I was saying, in the market of New York, we have $758 million spent within a year on sports sponsorships. Average deal size is at $775,000, and the number of deals worth over $1 million stands at 152. Over 978 total sponsorship deals among 645 brands that come from 30 different unique categories. And the average revenue per team in terms of sponsorship dollars is at $54 million. And that is led by the New York Yankees, who are also close to the $200 million mark. Top spending category, probably to no surprise, is the financial category at $148 million. Alcohol category, $62 million. And fifth on the list is healthcare at $45 million. So just again to compare, Vancouver, their top spend was it 15? Yeah, their top spend was at 15, 20 million. And that doesn't even crack the top five in the New York market. So you can see the difference that that markets play in the sports sponsorship world. Eagle FM, good evening.
Good evening.
Yes. How would you like to contribute to the Eagle Sports Zone today?
I'd like to answer the trivia question.
Okay, yes.
I would say it's Morocco.
Close, but no. No.
And the year, then there's no point in saying the year.
No, it's not Morocco. You're close. You're getting closer, but it's not Morocco.
Wait, so it's Northern Africa?
All I can say is you're getting close, but it's not Morocco.
What do you mean close? Geographically or?
Do call back when you get the answer.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much.
Close, but no cigar. It's not Morocco. But getting warmer. Name the first African country to participate at a FIFA World Cup. So as I was saying, you can see the difference that markets play in terms of sports sponsorship spend. And that's also reflects here, of course. You know, a lot of the times we compare ourselves to South Africa and the amount of money that's spent there on sports and other sectors as well, is the markets. You know, there's exponentially more people in South Africa, hence there's more people to advertise to, in short.
Well, you know what?
Eagle FM, good evening.
Hello.
Yes.
I was answering the question.
The trivia question?
Yes,
so name the first African country to play at a FIFA World Cup. What is your answer?
Is it Egypt?
Yes, it is Egypt. On your 10th attempt, you finally got it.
Yeah, should I now tell you the year?
Can you name the year?
Yes, because back in my day, I used to play for Egypt.
What year was it?
1934.
Congratulations.
I remember it like it was yesterday.
You are today's winner.
Thank you. Bye.
Yes, the first African nation to play at a FIFA World Cup was Egypt in 1934. That was the second World Cup to ever occur. After I get through this, I'll give you some more fun facts about that whole situation. So as I was saying, markets play a huge role in how much money is spent in sports sponsorship. And I reference South Africa in terms of how many people are there compared to how many people are here. But if you want to even put it on a more granular level, we kind of see the same within Namibia as well. We don't have hard data on this, but most of the sports sponsorship money spent here is inventive for obvious reasons. And like, we also have some in soccer, obviously. You have some in, let's say Wintergan Swakop. Most of the money is spent there. You have, northeast part of the country. There's some sponsorships as well. But if we're talking like more of the larger ones, in our context at least, they happen in the capital and at the coast. So let's look at the teams. Team with the most deals, most partners rather, is the New York Yankees baseball team, world famous baseball team, 158 brand partners. Average deal size between $760,000 and $850,000 US. The football team in comparison, the New York Red Bulls, with that's where Thierry Henry used to play. 42 brand partners, between $310,000 and $400,000 US is the average deal size. If you look at their rivals, they have 53 brand partners. That's New York City FC. That's $545,000 to $680,000 is their average deal size. And let's see, is there a university in this market? Oh, yes, there is. There's Rutgers University. They have 68 brand partners. That's more than both football teams. And, but their average deal size is much smaller, between $120,000 and $195,000 US. So those are the markets that I wanted to look at, just to give you an idea of how much money is exchanged when you have a serious and large and thriving sports economy. And like I said, obviously, we are worlds away from replicating anything like that. But just wanted to give an overview of what it looks like at the highest level. Now back to the trivia question. So between 1930 and 1966, which was the year England won the World Cup. So between 1930 and 1966, Africa as a continent had zero dedicated slots to participate at the World Cup. So the first World Cup, we weren't included at all. 1934, Egypt qualified for the World Cup. But between 1934 and 1966, we actually had to share. When I say we, I mean Africa. Africa had to share a slot with Asia. So there was one slot available between Africa and Asia. And the one time that Africa won the slot was in 1934 with Egypt. And they actually only played one match at that World Cup, because back then it was a knockout style tournament from the beginning. So they only played one match. So 1930, 1934, 1938, 1950, 54, 58, 62. We didn't have any slots given to us as a continent. And then 1966, the one that England won and hasn't won one since, the continent actually boycotted because they were not given a guaranteed spot. And so when our guaranteed spot started was in 1970, where we were given one slot, and that lasted until 1978. And then they expanded, they gave us more opportunities. 1982, we were given two slots, that lasted until the 1990. Then in 94, we were given three, and then the five slots that we see now, that started in 1998. And then now obviously 2026, the 2018 World Cup, we now have nine guaranteed spots at the World Cup. That's why we have Cape Verde going to the World Cup. That's why we have there's another small island that I saw has the potential to qualify. I'll look it up for you just now. Eagle FM, good evening.
Hendrik.
Yes.
Why are we not given those slots?
Sorry?
Why was Africa not be accorded those slots to play?
I actually tried to find the official reason, but there's no official reason. I guess it was just how the world was at the time.
You see, I think there are so many people who need to come in, stakeholder who need to come and help us to develop our sports at a standard.
Yeah.
Because if you now say, look at the requirements for CAF or whatever, all those international standards and all these things, well, you know, they are imposing it to us. I understand it's a good thing to have all those traces and all this structure.
Mm-hmm.
But now, after now, they are imposing those things. And they are also aware that, yes, it's because of them, because of some of the, you know, irregularity in terms of laws.
Yeah.
Whether it's from common law or whatever, you know, those areas.
Mm-hmm.
So why should they be now just be pointing us and pushing us at the tight corner, and they are not even coming in more with the money to help us to develop after? And they know already that, of course, they are also using most of our money from here.
Yeah, but so again, that was developing. It was a very long time ago. Remember, it's the 1930s.
Yes, it's 1930, so we are not even talking from the time when humanity came into existence.
Yeah, still, you know, world wars and things were still happening that time.
We have been excluded in all those things. The colonialism came, and all these instruments, we are giving slots. We are not giving slots.
Yeah.
And we are just, you know, relegated at the ground. You know, these are some of the, I think they should come in and they help us with money and technical know-how so that we can also meet their standards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
I just wanted some reason why.
Yeah, it was a different time back then. The world was different.
When you are telling you that, you know, colonialism and apartheid came into place to disaggregate our people and in terms of development in any other area.
Yeah.
So people don't agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Good. Yeah, like I said, it was a different time back then. World wars were being fought. You know, travel was difficult. One of the reasons I found was because teams would have to travel by ship. So yeah, imagine having to travel by ship to go play a World Cup. And then, the caller also mentioned, you know, that they have to come in and help us develop reach that standard, which is what FIFA is doing now and has been doing for some time now. So they've definitely been trying to correct their wrongs, if you want to say. But the fact that we've only had 5 teams at the World Cup beginning in 1998. We only had 5 teams at the World Cup beginning in 1998. And so, you know, a lot has been spoken about Africa's performance at the World Cup throughout, let's call it modern history. But when you actually think about it, we're pretty new to the World Cup still. So, our achievements or lack thereof at the World Cup is actually pretty understandable. And it's, you know, the last World Cup, we made it to the semifinals. So I think that's also just proof that when given a chance, a fair chance, like the other continents, we can perform well. Can perform very well. And so we'll be back right after this.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Brought to you by Premier Bet Namibia Totes. Create your account now at premierbet.com and use promo code Namibia264. Premier Bet, win big, win now.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone, brought to you by Premier Bet. Use promo code Namibia264 to create your account now at premierbet.com. So, as I was saying, we've achieved... If you look at the whole picture, the continent has done pretty well considering we're fairly new to the World Cup. Like I said, highest achievement was semi-final. That was at the last World Cup by Morocco. I looked at Asia, who we shared a slot with for many years. They've also, the highest they've done is also only a semi-final, but that was in 2002. And that was when they hosted the World Cup, actually, when South Korea co-hosted with Japan. That was the World Cup, what World Cup was that? That was the World Cup Brazil one. Yeah, the Ronaldinho R9 team, that one. So that's the best Asia has done. So basically we're equal. And, yeah, not, non-biased opinion. I think we're better footballing continent than them. But yes. This year we'll have 9 African teams at the World Cup. And the ones that have qualified so far. For the 2026 FIFA World Cup. Obviously, as we know, include South Africa, Senegal, South Africa, Senegal, Ghana, Algeria, Egypt, Tunisia, Morocco, Cape Verde. Yeah, those are the 9. And so tonight, one more African, we could have 10 African teams at the World Cup between Nigeria and Congo, depending on who wins that matchup tonight. And if they win the intercontinental, or if they're among the 2 teams from the intercontinental playoff, we could have 10 nations at the FIFA World Cup, which would be quite remarkable, considering that around 30 years ago, we only had 3. So, we're slowly running out of time here on the Eagle Sports Zone. Don't forget, tomorrow is Monday, which means that the Villager e-paper will be published. If you haven't subscribed yet, send us a WhatsApp message at 081-200-4144. That's 081-200-4144. Cost you a total of $0.00 to become a subscriber of the Villager. Make sure you save that number that I mentioned too as a contact so that bright and early in the morning you receive it directly to your WhatsApp. If you'd like to receive it via email, include your email in the message as well, and you'll have access to a great interactive paper. And by interactive, I mean some of the images you see in there you can interact with, you can click on, it'll take you to a different website and so on. So don't forget, the Villager coming out Monday morning, bright and early. And you can become a subscriber today. You can also follow The Villager on all social media platforms. That's The Villager newspaper. That's on Facebook. That's on X. That's on Instagram. That's on WhatsApp as well. When you send us a WhatsApp message, you'll be able to access our WhatsApp channel. Or you can just go on our social media pages. You will find various QR codes that will lead you to the WhatsApp channel, and you can get timely updates directly to your mobile device. You don't even have to do anything. Just have to sit and wait for to get that WhatsApp notification and get the latest on what's happening around the country in various, across various sectors of our economy and some international news as well. So, thanks for tuning in. This has been another edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. We'll be back same time, same place next week, Sunday, 6 p.m. live on your number one talk radio station.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Brought to you by Premier Bet Namibia Toast. Create your account now at premierbet.com and use promo code Namibia264. Premier Bet, win big, win now.